From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In a few moments, Dr. Cairns will bring the concluding portion of a message called The Essence and End of All True Prayer, part of this series in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this sermon clip from the Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, the Reverend Armin Tamassian.
The only person who had absolute control over his death was Jesus Christ. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. When he was on that cross, we read he bowed his head and gave up the whole ghost. He didn't droop. It didn't droop or fall. He bowed his head. He stepped into death, completely in control of the very moment at which he would depart life. And he steps right out of it again, out of death. Comes to life. I have power to take it again. And so he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. And so Paul goes into this city and goes into other areas, and he preaches this message of one who has power over death, because he has risen from the dead by an act of his own will. And that brings such hope that no other religion can match. And those that are listening properly, they're thinking, wow, what is this? And they're drawn in, and the Spirit works, and they're converted. And therefore they go forward into other regions, into other territories, and they proclaim, read the book of Acts, they proclaim the resurrection of Christ. It's constantly on their lips. The Son of God lived, died, and rose again. So all the fears of men are abolished in that one reality. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. If he did that, he can do anything.
He was wounded for us. King of kings and Lord of lords, to leave his heavenly crown. Born in a manger low, a king, how can it be that he came to earth in humble form to save a wretch like me?
Penalties were laid on him.
cross on Calvary, my Savior bled and died, paid in full sin's awful debt, for he was crucified. Worthy is the Lamb of God, honor, glory, praise to him whom my redemption bought. I'll serve him all my days. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised on the cross for all my sin. He bore my sorrow. He bore my grief. All the sin's penalties were laid on him. Oh, all the sin's penalties were laid on him.
In these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity, ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Thank you. final words of the Lord's Prayer, we are called upon to think upon the greatness of God. In approaching this aspect of prayer, Dr. Cairns has emphasized that praise to God has always been the hallmark in the prayers of every great prayer warrior. True prayer is not desperation, but devotion. Also, true prayer is not self-will, but submission to God's will. Paul prayed that Christ would be magnified in his body, whether by life or by death. A true view of God will beget that attitude in believers as they pray. Finally, we're reminded that true prayer is not earthly, but heavenly. It recognizes that God is the sovereign over everything and everybody. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message called The Essence and End of All True Prayer.
Now, if God had only a general benevolence toward us, if he only wished to do us good, if he was not ultimately, absolutely sovereign, our praying would just be as frustrated and foolish as Rachel's plea to Jacob. Thank God we come to the God who is utterly and entirely sovereign. You remember how Daniel said the Lord would teach that to King Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar said, I lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? You know that old heathen king learned far more quickly from a single experience. Now, it was rather a prolonged experience, but it was a single experience. He learned far more quickly than many of God's professing people learn after years of studying the Bible. Our God is sovereign. Psalm 6 or 10 verse 16 says, of the Lord is King forever and ever. And I want to tell you, when you talk about the kingship of Jehovah, it's not a constitutional monarchy. He is not king because of the will of his subjects. He is not king because of the votes of his people. His kingship is not trammeled or contained or bounded by the acts of a human parliament. He is the absolute monarch, in whom we live and move and have our being. As Paul said to Timothy, our God is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. We celebrate that when we pray. Listen, here's why. Because with that realization, when we come to pray, we can say, as did the leper in Matthew 8, when he came to Christ. Interesting. The first man recorded in the Gospels to address Jesus as Lord was a poor leper. This is not insignificant. Recognizing the lordship of Christ, confessing it before Peter or James or John or anybody else confessed it. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. The only limitation in what God does is what God wills. And I want to tell you, my friend, that is not a barren doctrine. Unlike the Arminian caricature of this, this is not something that will destroy your prayer life. This is not something that will destroy your love for souls. This is not something that will make you cold and academic and philosophical. This is something that will set your heart on fire and drive you to your knees and give you confidence when you pray. Think of it. When you come to God with a situation that's totally out of your control, you come to God with a burden that's too heavy for you to bear, with a problem that's too difficult for you to solve. It needs greater wisdom and power than you can ever muster. You come to God and you say, Lord, I celebrate your sovereignty. If you will, you have the power. You can do it. You have the authority. You can do it. I want to tell you, this is not an earthly perspective. This is heavenly. Heavenly. We celebrate the sovereignty of God. And when we say thine is the power, we acknowledge his power. And that's exactly what he commands us to do. In Isaiah 33:13, he gives that actual command. He says, acknowledge my might. Remember how the Lord challenged Abraham and Sarah? In Genesis 18:14, he said, or questioned, is anything too hard for the Lord? He issued the very same challenge to Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah had the answer that every man who knows what it is to pray in devotion and submission with this heavenly mind, the answer that every such man has, Jeremiah 32:17, he cries, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. That's why we pray. Because it's not beyond our God. That's what gives us confidence in prayer. It's what lifts us out of frustration into faith and out of defeat into deliverance. When we pray, thine is the kingdom, we celebrate his sovereignty. We pray, thine is the power, we acknowledge his might. We pray, thine is the glory, we aim at the glory of God. Prayer must always have this eternal dimension. It must look beyond the immediate to the ultimate. It's very natural for you and me to desire what is sweet and what is comfortable, what is immediately beneficial according to our estimation. What seems good to me at this given time is what I naturally desire. But when we see our God and we truly pray, then we go up higher. We recognize that there's a purpose that is higher than our comfort, higher than our pleasure, higher than our happiness, and it is the purpose of the glory of God. The amazing thing is, once a Christian truly embraces that purpose of aiming at the glory of God, you'd be a happy man. That's the key to happiness. Any Christian who does not aim at the glory of God in his life will be intrinsically unhappy. But if we aim at that and we transform our own lives, and it will transform our praying from the petty little things that so often absorb us, we'll grasp with joy the great purpose of our being. I often love to come back to Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, where the 24 elders cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are, or they exist, and were created. The only valid reason for me to exist is the glory of God. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether I live 50 years or 500 years. It matters, have I brought glory to God? Doesn't matter whether I'm successful in business or live in penury. Have I brought glory to God? And if God has His people, and let's be honest, we're in a world of great diversity, so God has His people in every part of that diversity. Some are white, some are black, some are brown, some are yellow, some are sick, some are healthy, some are rich, some are poor, some are educated, some are illiterate. The world is so diverse, and so God's people are scattered throughout that diversity. The great thing is not to focus on the outer, immediate, and transient circumstances, but to focus on the ultimate purpose. We are here for the glory of God. Why we are here? The greatest thing we can ever say, and this is true in our praying, is to have fellowship with what they do in heaven and cast our crowns at the Savior's feet, confessing, this is our purpose. Thine be the glory. That's why we pray. That governs what we pray. If you're praying for the glory of God, it would put a full stop. That's an English word. Let me say it. It would put a period. Early on to much of the follies, of the folly that we utter in prayer, we could honestly say we're aiming at the glory of God. Governs what we pray. It gives confidence when we pray. The Lord will certainly glorify His own name. Let me say this in closing. You're never more Christ-like than when you pray like this. John 12:27 says, Jesus prayed, Father, glorify Thy name. And you're never sure of the Father's answer when you pray that, because the very next verse there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Take this home with you today. Prayer is devotion. Prayer is submission. Prayer is exaltation in God's sovereignty. It is acknowledging God's power. It is an aspiration to promote God's glory. These are the things that constitute the essence and the true end of all real prayer. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory forever. Amen. May God teach us not just the words, but the experience of that glorious doxology.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcma.org. That's www.fpcma.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.